website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org.
Two or three examples, and then I'll move on. For the last half century, we have benefited enormously by the fact that there's one international currency, money. It's the U.S. dollar. It's as good as gold because it literally functions like gold. That's over. Ukraine simply speeds up the process. China, Russia, now Saudi Arabia, Iran, Venezuela, and many more countries are signing up for another international currency, and it shouldn't come as a big surprise whose currency that is. It's the currency of the People's Republic of China. China shows all the signs of a rising empire, matching all the signs of a declining empire here. Let me give you just some numbers. One of the things we do as economists is we look at the size of an economy to gauge relative economic power. And the number we use, it's crude like all numbers, but it gives you an idea, is called GDP. It stands for gross domestic product. It's a measure of the output of goods and services in one calendar year. So it helps us if we look at it and we measure it, and it's measured for every country on this planet. It gives us an idea of the relative size. Okay, let's now do a comparison of three countries, Russia, China, and the U.S., to get a sense of their economic wealth, their economic power, their economic footprint, if you like, in the world. So I'll start with Russia. The GDP, most recent year of Russia, it's about $1.5 trillion. The GDP of the United States last year was $21 trillion. Russia has never been and is not now anything like a serious economic competitor of the United States. It never was. It never came close. It may have had some nuclear weapons to worry about. It may have had political influence, but economic unit, only people systematically denied the simple statistic I just gave you could believe that. Russia has $1.5 trillion GDP. The United States alone, 21. The United States is allied with Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and many other countries against Russia. If you put them all together, it's like 30, maybe 35 trillion dollars against Russia with 1.5. What are you talking about? A war? This is a war between David and Goliath. And you're not going to be happy with who is playing which role. Think about it. Now China. What's the GDP of China? Ready? $17.5 trillion. That's a competitor. Not Russia. China. That's the empire emerging. And why? Easy. Easy to explain. Over the last 25 or 30 years, annual growth of GDP, how fast is the economy growing? Here in the United States, 2%, maybe slightly more, 2.3%, somewhere in there. Let's be generous, 2 to 3% U.S. average annual growth. China, average annual growth, 6 to 9%. End of conversation. That's why China went from being one of the poorest countries in the world to being the competitor of the United States, one of the richest. China has overtaken the United States in dozens of fields, particularly the highest tech ones. young people around you are using TikTok as a social media. That's Chinese. What's going on? The United States doesn't know what to do. Having not learned the lessons, having not understood what denial means, for a long time, they denied. Because to see the rise of China is to take a step in the direction that might make you confront what's happening to you. And that's a taboo. Finally, the United States figures it out. And what does it do? As if it learned nothing from its history? It tries warfare. It tries to slow down, to stop, maybe even to reverse history, just like Britain did. Mr. Trump declared a trade war against China. You remember? It's not that many years ago. He applied sanctions. He applied tariffs. He did everything he could to stop, to reverse it. None of it worked. It was one big, fat failure. Now we are in a war, we, the U.S. and its allies, with the most important ally China had, Russia. That's what's going on in Ukraine. It has got nothing whatever to do with that sad country suffering this war. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's the truth of Ukraine. All the rest is propagandistic foolery on both sides. This is about weakening the ally of China, which Russia is. When the war started, Mr. Biden predicted the Russians couldn't last a few weeks. With this armada of countries and weapons and wealth and you name it, he referred to what they were doing as the mother of all sanctions, which it was, greatest sanction program ever applied. Russia wouldn't last. The ruble would be valueless within weeks. All of that, 100% wrong. The ruble is worth more now than it was before the invasion. The Russian economy bubbling along pretty well. Took a dip right after, came back most of the way. You know why? Because the sanctions mainly stop buying oil and gas, which is Russia's lifeline. That's what Russia is, an exporter of oil and gas. I'm exaggerating, but it's the basic story. And Europe said we wouldn't buy it anymore, and that would have crippled Russia, except Russia found other buyers. This is not a complicated story. China bought more. India bought tons more. Saudi Arabia is reorganizing its economy. Pakistan is making important agreements with the Chinese and the Russians. The world isn't, guess what, controlled by the United States. It's over. It's all around you. The United Nations took a vote on Ukraine. The majority of countries did not agree with the United States. They either voted on the side of Russia or they abstained. They refused to participate. It's over. But you live in an environment which needs to deny it. The divisions in our society become worse with each passing day because they're grounded in a reality that isn't changing. Inequality, as I'm speaking to you, is continuing to get worse. Corporations are working as hard as they ever did to pay no taxes. The mass of people are suffering on a scale that is unspeakable. The inflation we're still have. Prices are going up roughly twice as fast as wages. That's a destruction of the working class. Prices are going up twice the rate of wages. This is impossible. You can't do this without explosions. Now, the explosions are happening in our country, but they're not happening out of an understanding of what I've just told you. Just think about how much of what I've just told you is relatively new for you, and you're open to it. You think about these things. But for most Americans, no foundation like has been provided. Not in the school, not in the media, not from the political leadership, nowhere. And not from the churches either, in general. So they explode how? By taking it out on one another. Crime, bitterness, resentment, a politics of scapegoating. I mean, how else explain preposterous notions that become serious? This is a country, United States, of 325, 30 million people. The biggest estimate I've ever seen of undocumented immigrants in our country says 10 million. There's no way 10 million of the poorest people there are, immigrants from Central America, are the cause of the difficulties of a capitalist economy of 330 million people. That's silly. That's on a level, you know, that an elementary school kindergarten kid wouldn't come up with something as off the chart as that. But we have serious politicians pandering to the political notion that we have a serious problem at our borders. Actually, we do. If you talk to corporate executives, as I do, the biggest problem for the last 6 months, guess what? It's called, ready? Labor shortage. Gee, you know how we're going to solve that? By bringing in immigrants, which is what they want. They don't know how to do it politically yet. They're working on that. But the politicians still have the upper hand. It's a wonderful way to pander to a desperate political mass. Elect me and I will build a wall so they can't come in. What? That's so nonsensical. By the way, it never works. But besides that, it's nonsensical. It just shows you. Or to be angry at black and brown people as if they're your problem. What are you doing? What is this craziness? You're desperate. I understand that. You've been suffering. You have a right to be angry and upset. No question. You do. You have been screwed in this system. You're being slapped and whacked and deprived with no end in sight. I teach at the university. I'm surrounded all the time with people in 18, 19, into their 20s. They are not happy, this generation. They don't see good jobs. They don't see good futures. They don't see any of it. They were led by their parents and this culture to expect what they now know they're not going to get. And they want some answers too. The most recent Gallup poll indicates that a majority of Americans polled randomly, 35 years of age and younger, when asked, would you rather live in a capitalist or a socialist economy? The majority say socialist. You know, after half a century of ideological pressure against everything social that I grew up in, I'm a product of that. This is amazing that the point of view could be twisted like this. And when you talk to students, as I do about this all the time, I quickly learn the polling is correct. But it's not that they like socialism. They haven't a clue what it is. That polling is because they are angry at capitalism. They know that that system is not for them. Socialism, I mean, let's try that. But it's not that they like socialism. It's that they don't like capitalism. But that has to be faced. I'm not making these numbers up. You can't come away from what I've just said with an imagination that all is well in this empire. But I'm not done. The level of political battle in this country is fierce. Republicans and Democrats attack each other. Literally, January 6th was physical. They wanted to kill Nancy Pelosi or Mike Pence or, you know, whoever they got in their confused mind pegged as the enemy, the scapegoat, the one who did bad. Now we're blaming Russia. What? Russia invaded. I've been a victim of war in my own family, in my own life. I'm against war. War's no way to solve problems. The Russians should have done something else. I get that. But like with every war, you have to ask, why did it come to this? Russians have suffered from war as much as any other country in the last century. They're not going to go into a war easily and quickly. They're not like the United States, upon which no war has been fought in the last century. Both world wars killed more Russians than anybody else. They know. So why? You have to ask why. We don't. You know what we do? We demonize Mr. Putin. I don't like Mr. Putin either, but what? You know, we demonize Saddam Hussein. We demonize. That's very American. The other guy, the guy you're fighting, is the total sum of all evil in the world, whereas you are beautiful vanilla. What? Are we really that childish as a people that we can't ask the question, what happened here? Why did it come to this? You know, throughout the whole time of the Soviet Union, when we were told we were in a great struggle between capitalism and socialism, we didn't have a war between those two countries. Now we have a war. When did it happen? After Russia stopped being socialist, went back to capitalism, and now we have war. You know what the big wars in World War I and II were? They were among capitalist countries. Was the whole story about capitalism and socialism just that, a story? Is war one of the gains we get from pushing socialism out of Russia? Those are real questions, but of course we can't answer them because we're fighting evil. The Russians commit war crimes. I don't doubt that they do. And the Ukrainians, they don't? Stop. No one is that foolish, but the American people get told these stories and they add up. So let me end with military. Since the end of World War II, the United States has invaded small countries repeatedly, violating norms, rules-based international order. It invaded Korea. It invaded Vietnam. It invaded Iraq. It invaded Afghanistan. It lost all of them. The wars were lost. The Communist Party of Vietnam took over that country. The Taliban took over Afghanistan. I could go on. They didn't win. And if you look at the line between the Russians and the Ukrainians, it has moved westward relentlessly for the entire year of this war. There is no question of who's winning and who's losing. Only in the minds of people committed to denial are these things going on. I'm not asking you to endorse either side in this war. I'm not asking you to endorse China or the Chinese system. I'm asking you, look at the reality you have in front of you. Don't be afraid. The danger lies in denial, not in facing it. And if we face it, there is a lesson to be learned from the British Empire. After two attempts to militarily force the United States back into the British Empire. After those two efforts had failed, the British Empire stopped trying and decided instead to try to work out a relationship with the United States, which it did. Not the greatest job, but did a pretty good job. The biggest waffle came in the U.S. Civil War when the British seriously considered siding with the South. They didn't, but they came close. After that, though, they went with the winner, a very courageous move once the war was over. But maybe we have to learn that we have to live with the People's Republic of China. It has virtues. We could learn from them, just as they could learn from the United States. And that would be a better plan than what they're doing now. The American Seventh Fleet is in the China Sea. There is no Chinese fleet on our border. We are there. We are threatening them. We always have. This is a country that is now our economic competitor. Its global political reach is extraordinary, and it has four times the number of people we do. You better come to terms with them, because the prospect of defeating that in a war, that's a war everybody loses. So you don't have that option, unless you're crazy. Denial is never a good idea. Among psychologists, here's a truism. We all suffer traumas, particularly when we're young. And a trauma is bad. But a trauma that's denied, a trauma that can't be spoken, a trauma that can't be discussed, is always much worse. You figure that out as you get older. And maybe you can go and have a therapist help you return to that trauma, to do the work of working through it that you couldn't or didn't do when you were younger. That's the premise of much of modern psychotherapy. But it applies here too. We have to stop the denial and face what is going on. Otherwise, we are going to get ourselves into one mess after another. And who's going to do it? The corporations that are profiting from this system? Unlikely. The rich who have become richer for 40 years, are they likely to question a system that has rewarded them that way? Unlikely. You know who's going to do it, if anybody does? It's the mass of the people, the employees of this culture, or if you allow me the old language, the working class, because it's their ass that's on the line. They're the soldiers and they're the taxpayers who keep the system going. And that's probably why denial has won over honest confrontation with our reality. Marx once said that the capitalist class will, in the end, destroy itself. The question for all of us and all of you is, will we let that system take us down with it? Thank you. I've used up my time. I hope you have found it of interest.
You were just listening to Richard Wolff on the United States of Denial. He spoke in New York at the end of January 2023. Richard Wolff, Professor of Economics Emeritus at the University of Massachusetts, is currently a visiting professor at the New School in New York. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, based in Boulder, Colorado. We're an independent progressive nonprofit in our 37th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature voices rarely heard in the corporate media, such as Juan Gonzalez, Noam Chomsky, Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, Arundhati Roy, and Angela Davis. And we have a series of programs with Richard Wolff. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. For copies of today's program, Richard Wolff on the United States of Denial, and for the book by Danny Katch, Socialism, A Guide to Surviving the 21st Century, just call us, 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. Or you can go online, our website, alternativeradio.org. Printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program are free. Just call us at 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening. We go out with Gil Scott-Heron, Winter in America.
All from the Indians, welcome to pilgrims, and to the buffaloes who once ruled the plain. Like the vultures circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter. It's winter in America. Yes, and all of
You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Did you hear